Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Robert.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast, the National Play Archie Podcast. We are back with the first part of the fourth episode of the second season of the Rodania Eastward campaign. So, Robert, can you please fill people in on who's here and then pass the torch like I have been doing because it's easier for me?
Yes, my name is Robert. I'm playing generic bandit leader number one. With me are the other generic bandits, who surely are of various different races and all that. But we're all just bandits hired by the Dragon Lord to heist and steal absolutely this gold bullion transport from the Mark, which our boss has trouble with, right? And that's totally who we are. But we are also hidden, of course, underneath those disguises, the brave freedom fighters of Rodania, under my character, John Eastward, who is a halfling paladin of not so great stuff. But in general, to try to take down evil dragons and take them down. And I will pass the torch to generic rogue bandit number two, Jürgen. Mm-hmm.
Indeed, I am generic bandit number two. Striking looks, but no, I also play Darius Quarterling when I'm in part of the Barony. But today we're pretending to be some other people. To keep a low profile, as it were. But yeah, I'm the spymaster slash gourmand chef of this crew. Very friendly little half-dwarf, half-halfling, who hired in some extra crew when we got back to this barony, among which it's Eldris Pith.
Yes, hello. This form you see before you is a bandit. I look over at the baron and nod. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am a bandit today, and not at all a ruler of the undead. I am played by Paul Cyphers, and I am a necromancer. I believe we also have, along with us, a fantastic caster, a bard.
Yes, you could call Sirana, who is now disguised as Lorella, a bard, but she's only a bard in practice, not in name. She will hit you in the face if you call her a bard. Mm-hmm.
I will say, I believe you are going to be double disguised today, because you're not mm-hmm. even going to be disguised as Lorella. You're going to be disguised as random other person, because they don't want
right.
you to be disclosed.
You're random bandits.
Yes.
Exactly. Which is already hard for her, because she is a prideful student, mm-hmm. heir of the kingdom, but she was robbed, so now she's on the run with a bunch of generic bandits that she found, but that fortunately gave her space and a home. And so now she is helping them out so that later on they will help her out. And in that group, we also have a handsome 40 years older barbarian. So I pass the torch on to him.
So I'm a random dragon, average dragon, but now I'm a barbarian. I'm nothing related to magic.
Dragonborn,
yeah.
Okay.
Today I will be another bandit, another regular bandit, to definitely taking care of this, of the other teammates, for not breaking a lot of stuff, because funnily enough, I'm not gonna break everything barbarian type of one.
Excellent.
Perfect.
We almost forgot Hayden, we don't forget Hayden. Hayden, go ahead.
Don't forget me.
Buddy, Hayden.
I am complete chaos.
I really am generic bandit. I'm like generic human, the generic bandit.
No, you're a bandit brute.
No, Hayden, what are you playing now? What are you in real life?
I'm just like big bandit guy. I carry a bunch of different bandit weapons, of course, because I'm a bandit. I'm Roland Varro, a fighter. Really, I was hired on as a mercenary by the Baron, but I've started to become a bit more invested in the goings-on, partially thanks to Shirana, for sure. But yeah, I'm just generic guy in generic outfit.
Yay!
Okay, does anyone want to update people why you guys are generically generic today?
We are robbing a, I was going to say train, but we do not. We are robbing a gold boat from the Mark trading company, who is shipping in, among other things, a tremendous amount of explosives in order to burn down the woods and kill some people. We are fine with them killing, but also a shit ton of refugees, which would be bad. Also, there's a shit ton of gold there in order to pay their mercenaries. So we're kind of like doing trouble and making trouble and so on. It does help, I would like to point out, that recently the Mark and the Dragonborn rulers in the area kind of got into a little actual ambush among each other. And we are just like facilitating that this is now a counter ambush, I guess, taking the stuff.
The audio, before this episode gets posted, the audio of that will be posted. So there will be a generated audio for that entire adventure about what happens when Claudia decided to take out the Dragonborn reinforcements.
That was a shit show for her, and I was laughing hard. I would, however, also like to say that Drak should probably be in charge of this, because he's, of course, we are serving the Dragon Lord. There's our Dragon Lord right there, but you just don't just tell us to hit stuff and actually do the thing which we're already doing and we are fine. All right. Dungeon Master, we have taken the option of the Shattered Isle, Rocky Rapids Ambush, that would be the Jagged Rocks Formation and Rapid Currents use, where we will use false navigational markers and sabotage in order to lure the gold boat into a place where it will be slowed and stranded. And
that is correct. But
while we are fighting this, I'm sorry. Yes, go.
But prior to that happening, I have two brief interludes that I'm going to go over. As your NPCs have decided to do something to the to two specific people in the group.
Mm.
So first, can you hear this audio?
No, I can't hear anything.
Cannot.
So you can't hear that. All right, let me figure out why that's the case. Okay, that was three.
Where is it being played?
It's being played to three. Three is being looped to two.
Where am I got this mess of cables.
I know!
Like, digital mess of cables. It's crazy.
We literally go through this every time we have to. All right.
There's no way for me to save the settings. That's the problem.
I know. Is there a way you can write them down or something?
That would be possible.
It tells me the answer.
This one goes to. Why can you hear me then?
I can hear you.
Guys, we are not helping by making fun of the Dungeon Master who is doing his best and all that. Meanwhile, I will explain the plan.
I don't need to do this. Okay. I got it. You explain the plan.
Never mind.
Go ahead. You explain the plan.
We will be getting the gold ship into dangerous terrain where it will become stranded on rocky terrain, and then our guys will storm it and take the gold away. This has to be done, however, with small boats, so we cannot take all of it at once, and there are escort ships, which we need to keep off. That is at least the idea. It is a relatively slow plan, but we decided that it might be strategic-wise probably the wisest to do, and to, instead of trying something more risky where we would immediately out ourselves. So yes, okay. That is in general the plan.
Can you hear me still?
Yes. Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay. So let's try this one more time to see if this works.
Okay.
The fire had burned low. Only coals remained, casting long, restless shadows among the old stone ruins.
Yes.
Okay, because I can't now. So now I gotta figure out why I can't, but I'll play.
The fire had burned low. Only coals remained, casting long, restless shadows among the old stone ruins. Most of the camp had quieted, but not Thera. He stood just outside the fire's reach, something heavy wrapped in dark cloth clutched in his hands. His brow was drawn tight, jaw working like he was chewing on something that wouldn't go down easy. Kirana sat alone by the fire, her eyes half-lidded, distant, lost in the kind of thoughts only silence could carry. She looked peaceful, not untouchable, but unreachable in that moment. He took a breath, let it out slow, and stepped forward.
Lady Lindis, I...
Thurrock began, his voice rougher than he meant. He winced, shook his head like trying to dislodge a stone from a boot.
Kirana.
She looked up, no judgment, just presence. And for Thurrock, that was always the hardest part. He knelt, not like a soldier, not like a supplicant, like a man laying down something precious and unsure whether it should even be offered. From the cloth, he drew a dagger, short, forged of cold iron, dull and pitted, refusing to reflect the firelight. It looked old, like a story carved into metal. He set it between them and exhaled through his nose.
Didn't forge this. Wouldn't dare. But I know the story, and I think you need to hear it.
His hand rested on the dagger, but didn't grip it.
There was a woman once. No one remembers her name. Not anymore. Her mother sold her fate before she ever drew breath. Made a pact with a fey lord for power or safety or love. Don't matter which. All it cost was the child's name, her future, her will. She grew up with that fate wrapped around her like silk. No scars, no hunger, but no choices neither. It wasn't until the Fae came to claim her that she felt the weight of it, felt the lie.
He looked up then, meeting Kirana's gaze, not boldly, but steadily.
She didn't scream, didn't run. She went into the woods. Took 3 days. She bled into stone, burned old herbs by moonlight, cut her hand over raw iron. Cold iron ain't made by hammers, it's made by ritual, by truth. She made this, with nothing but will and silence. And when the Fae came for her, she didn't argue. She bit through her own tongue so no word of consent could be twisted free. Then she struck, one cut, no scream, no plea.
He tapped the hilt, gently.
We call it the unbound fang, but the Fae can't speak of it, can't name it, can't warn each other. It's a truth they can't touch.
He nudged the wrapped dagger a little closer to her, as though he feared he might insult her by placing it in her hands.
This ain't a weapon for killing. It's a weapon for choosing. For saying no to what was written. For ending what others claimed you'd become.
A beat. He looked away, embarrassed now, his voice quieter.
When I look at you, I don't see some lost queen or rebel noble. I see her. That woman who broke the silence with her blood. Who foraged her own damn fate. You've walked close to the edge, Kirana. You've looked fate in the eye and didn't flinch. This blade, it ain't a gift. It's a mirror of who you already are.
He stood, slowly, as though the act of rising pulled something from him.
You don't owe me nothing. Just thought you should have it.
And with that, he stepped back into the dark, the fire behind him flickering faintly over the cloth-wrapped blade lying at her feet, silent and waiting.
That is the first.
Damn. You tell me if I can react or if we're going to continue listening to things.
You can fully react right now.
Okay. Quick reminder. The blade, the little dagger was called the Fang, what? The Unmatched Fang? Something like that?
The Unbound Fang.
Unbound? Right.
Yes.
Unbound Fang.
Okay. I missed the name. Okay.
The Dungeon Master has also given a link.
Okay. Oh. Right, here it is. Wait, in what channel? Whatever. I'm gonna react. Yeah. He looks upon the dagger that was bestowed upon her and She draws a heavy breath. She grabs it by the cloth that was given. And
when you take the dagger, when you touch the dagger, you will feel a tinge of pain.
A tinge of what?
Pain.
Pain. All right.
You can make an arcana check.
I would like to make an arcana check.
Hey, I'm just going to toss it out there. If you need that done too, I can maybe help with that.
I'm assuming that because you don't have access to your own sheet. If you want one of us to roll for you, say it. Elsewise, we are assuming that you guys have it covered on your end.
Yeah. How do I pull out the sheet again?
Oh, like this.
Oh, you're
like this.
Yeah.
All right. And I just click on Arcana.
Yep.
And I should roll. Okay, normal.
Yep.
I rolled. Oh my god! I got a natural 20.
Holy shit.
Okay, so you will know that it is cold iron forged. You have a connection to the Fae, even though you're not true Fae because you're half-elf. But because you have a connection to the Fae, there is a piece of this dagger that is reacting to basically your being.
Okay.
Are you aware of cold iron? Like, you as a player?
Cold iron? What is cold iron?
Cold iron is basically a type of metal, which he sort of explained in the connection. It's a type of metal that literally is bad.
It's the bane of Fae, the same as silver for werewolves.
Basically, yes.
Right.
In the same vein, at least. It is it's not a requirement, but it hurts them more.
It's a kryptonite.
Basically.
Yeah, well, no, actually, your thing you have specifically is a kryptonite. Everything else is just really hurtful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so I sent
a link to the sheet. It is both in the chat on Discord as well as the chat on Foundry.
Where?
If it is not so, fight,
oh wait, I sent it on the Foundry chat. Let me go to.
Oh yeah, but I'm seeing it on my phone. Yes. Okay. Oathbound protection. The dagger cannot be magically stolen, disarmed, or removed. The unspoken blade. Fae creatures cannot speak of, describe, or name this dagger. They cannot warn others about. Damn. If struck by this weapon, they become aware of it for 1 minute, during which they can attempt to flee or defend, but still cannot describe it. Severing glamour. When you hit a fae creature with this dagger, you may choose to disrupt one illusion, charm, or invisibility effect on active on the target. Silent oath. While attuned, the wielder gains advantage on saving throws against being charmed or magically silenced. And Legacy of the Silent Pact, if the wielder is ever forced into a fae bargain or contract, they may invoke the dagger's name to nullify the pact once in their lifetime, and the dagger shatters after this use. Alright. Requires attunement by a non-fae creature who has rejected a magical pact or resisted a fae influence.
That is all right. Incredibly powerful.
Damn.
Yeah.
So literally only two of you can use this.
Yeah.
It's not a weapon, but it is a powerful tool against fae, yes.
Well, he said it, Theric himself. Okay, yeah, now I'm going to react to Savannah. Sierana thinks about Tharuk's words. This is not a weapon for killing. This is a weapon for choosing. She feels. She fully grabs the handle of the dagger, and although it is painful, she takes it in, letting the pain sink in and. As if she was trying to read the words from a book. I believe that it was said that the dagger has like a history carved on it, not literally, but she's gonna take it metaphorically and let the pain that comes from the dagger sink into her as if she was reading that history. And she gets surprised a little bit. She looks to where Theric once was, now that he left. She looks at where the places, the exact places where he took steps. He looks, she looks at them, and she wonders, how did Theric come upon such a thing? I understand that it was, and now I'm going to ask you, DM. Theric said that it was like a legend, right?
Yes, correct.
Of this woman. And is it like native of his people?
From what he said, it most likely it was probably a barbarian. So it's probably maybe not native of her people, but at least something that was traded around amongst barbarians. Right. You would guess he probably traded for it, and it probably cost a lot.
Okay.
This is not a minor thing that he acquired.
Right. So, yeah, because also it's like a property of the weapon. It cannot be stolen, magically disarmed, like nothing. Mm-hmm.
But one other point, just so you're aware. Because of the specific requirements on the attunement, it is extremely rare for someone to be able to use it. So most likely it was like a ceremonial item up until now.
Yes. Right. Attunement by a non-fake creature who has rejected a magical pact. So who's the other one person who can use this?
It would be Robert. It would be Jornin.
Remember last session I literally told the Fae to shove off back to the Emerald and leave us all alone.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Because that's literally what the family stands for.
Yes,
all part of that.
So
we were there, but we were not offered the pact. The Baron was.
I would like to go back to Theric's tent, I suppose. Where did he go? He went to his tent or something. Where were we exactly? Because we were like in the night.
It was at night, so he would be heading back to his tent. He probably sleeps with his people.
All right, I'm gonna go. Attempt to go back to his tent, and I'm gonna. How can you knock on a tent? You don't really knock. What's the?
It's a communal tent. People coming in and out is not that uncommon.
Okay, I'm gonna just open the tent, like the entrance, slightly, and I'm gonna look at him and call his name. Theric?
He will come out to you.
I would like to roll, before I do anything, I would like to roll a... I believe that would be insight check, like to see how he's feeling. What?
It would be insight.
Okay, I'm gonna roll insight. Normal. And that is a 2 plus 5, so 7.
What are you looking to get?
Sedona wanted to see why he, like, what mood state he was in and what made him go through the thought of, I am going to give this to her.
Okay. Going and back also, over... You said something while I was talking. I didn't hear it.
Oh, sorry. I said, I also just want to know how he's feeling, like, in general.
He seems embarrassed and shy.
Mm-hmm. All right. I am gonna look to him and say, Dear Theric, I'm appreciative of this gesture, but I remain confused. Why are you embarrassed so? if I may ask? She asks.
Okay, what would he respond? Give me a moment.
Can I ask, who is Theric to you?
My bodyguard? My
bodyguard, yeah. The extra bodyguard.
Oh, that's your bodyguard? Did he give you this dagger, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why?
He just did.
That's exactly what she's asking, man.
Yeah, because he's a great fucking bodyguard trying to keep her safe from fucking
the guy family. I wrote this in chat, so I'm just gonna say this out loud. The dude is a 240-meter ball of flush and teenage youth in front of a mature woman. The guy has a crush. That's it.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty much what it is, but I'm trying to figure out how he would respond with that.
Yes.
He's a young guy, awesome. And there's an oppressive older woman in front of him.
Who happens to be a princess and a sorceress, for all he knows.
And extremely beautiful.
Yeah.
Which she's flat out saying that she's extremely beautiful. Exactly. I believe you said that when you were up against the Bodak, and the Bodak refused your charm.
Exactly. Yes. That will not happen again. Don't worry. I'm going to amp up my charm skills. I assure you I'm going to get some sort of amulet or some shit that's going to allow me to charm anything.
You're going to buy me some time. I'm going to play the second instrument.
Yeah, you do that. Well, meanwhile...
Right,
night had settled over the old watchtower like a blanket of damp moss. The fire had dwindled to a few glowing embers, casting flickering halos against the crumbled stones. Most of the camp lay in silence, but Kelgrim stood apart, unmoved. He lingered just beyond the edge of the firelight, beneath a crooked tree whose bark curled like old parchment. In his hands, something rested, waddled in dark cloth, held like a burden and a promise both.
Jornan, if you're awake, come here a moment. I've something that belongs with you.
Jornan rose and followed without a word. The shadows swallowed them quickly, leaving the warmth of the camp behind. The two figures walked a short distance beneath the quiet of the trees, where the sky was open, and the stars spilled overhead like scattered stones.
Folk don't always see the danger when it's wrapped in silken frost. But you did. And you stood firm. Didn't flinch. Didn't yield. That ain't just courage, Jornan. That's something older, deeper. This land's seen too many lords molded by outside hands. Winter may dress her words in beauty, but she's still a storm. And storms always leave something broken behind.
Kelgrim crouched, unwrapping the cloth with a slow reverence. The cloak he revealed seemed alive, woven from bark, roots, and stone, its fibers twisted like the undergrowth of the forest floor. Pale etchings marked each charm, faintly glowing as if stirred by breath.
This here is the root-bound mantle, forged in the heart of the Duskwoods, blessed by wind, rain, and refusal. It'll anchor you when magic would sway you. Shield your spirit when charm tries to twist it. It's not just armor, Jornan. It's a reminder that you bent to no court, bow to no cold promise, that your roots are yours and yours alone.
He stepped forward and laid the mantle across Jornan's shoulders. The weight settled not heavily, but with quiet gravity, like the hush before a storm, or the stillness of stone warmed by sun.
Walk proud. The forest watches, and now it knows you.
The wind stirred the branches above them, soft and low, as if the land itself offered its quiet assent. For a moment, everything was still.
I think this becomes less of something where he, like, reacts except for thanking, but from now on, whenever he is in a... social manner almost. This becomes his Jon Snow kind of cloak now. It's a way too large cloak for this little guy. That is a baller's cloak. God damn it.
Okay. Oh, you see the cloak?
I took the liberty to look at the artifacts while he was talking.
Okay,
and then I recognized what it was when he said the name, so yes. Hot damn. Well, that will help against some people. And the things they're doing.
Yes. So if you can't tell, both of the Goliaths are very happy that you rejected the Fae.
We are happy to have done that, yes.
Theric has a response. I'm just making it.
Are Goliaths considered Fae or no?
No. Giant. Giant type, I guess.
A giant. Giant, okay. Giant boy.
Yeah. Well, humanoid, but from giant ancestry, so.
Gotcha.
I will say there would be more narration around this, but I'm not going to have the narrator because that would be hard for me to do right now.
Don't worry.
But he is sufficiently grateful. I hope that comes through. And he will gladly wear it. He doesn't feel like he needed to be rewarded for this, but he is happy about the alliances and friends they have made. So, yay.
It's and nice to again, see that still on the same side in all our ideas here.
Yeah. And again, something which is extremely cool, which I cannot have on this mission because it stands out way too much. This is upsetting.
Turn it inside out. It might be a cooler color on the other side to trick people.
Is it? Yes. Is it a?
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't have your new toy, and no. Syriana can have her new toy.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
I enjoy that it can be used in reaction to being knocked prone, but just doesn't do anything.
I guess you're not.
Little question, DM. So I have, technically, I think we've been missing out on the fact that I have guidance, the cantrip. And I haven't really, that's on me, of course, but I haven't really said, like, I would like to cast guidance before I do any rolls, which I think I should, because I don't think I've ever used it.
You should.
So, yeah, I'm going to start doing that from now on. And if anyone needs guidance, make sure to verbalize it, and I will give you guidance.
It's a bit more obvious than it is in Baldur's Gate. Because you have to, like, do a song and dance, basically, to cast it. But yeah, it's something to remember, definitely.
Just say, like, hey, Xerana, can I have guidance? And I'll say yes, just so the DM can add, or you can add guidance to the role.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, yeah, not really something you use in conversation with people.
Yeah, no, it has the timings where it will work out for sure. Yeah, we'll try to be more on top of it as a party for sure.
Okay, playing the new one.
Because it's yours, not because you needed protecting, not because you needed reminding. It's because you already walked the kind of road that Blade was born for. Hard, lonely, chosen when others would have bent the knee. You didn't just survive, Kirana. You refused what was easy. What was expected? I gave it to you because I needed you to know. You ain't alone in that. You ain't walking that path unseen. A blade like that. It's not about cutting. It's about carving out your own place. Macking your own name when the world's too damn eager to write it for you. You're beautiful, Kirana. Not because of the twilight or the songs folk will someday sing about you. You're beautiful because you ain't finished being forged yet. You're still shaping who you are with blood. And fire and choice. That's why.
Oh my god. Do I need to roll a constitution saving throw? This man. Wait, unironically, I want to do that. Hold on.
Okay.
How do I. Wait.
This is your like nobility. Like, I can't show emotion. I can't show.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't blush. Mm-hmm.
Constitution ability check, that's it? Mm-hmm. Or like saving throw? No, here.
No, it's saving
here.
Throw.
I have a plus two.
He
go.
Didn't ask
I
got for it. It. You wanted this.
Yeah, it's you for yourself.
I will okay. admit, I almost wanted you to roll a natural one. I just vomit.
Yes. Unfortunately, my upbringing came through and I held it. I do think, however, that Tirana
listens to Theric's words, and she blushes a little bit, but then she brushes it off.
Is the appropriate amount. You made
an appropriate amount of a charm, like a ladylike charm, a ladylike blush when she's called beautiful. And afterwards, she smiles at Theric and asks him, "How old are you, Theric?"
An appropriate adult age for Goliaths. Probably would be like 16.
Damn.
Thanks, Epic. That's so appropriate for this relationship.
Goliaths have shorter
life. I understand why this relationship is a no-no. Jeez.
That's crazy. Isn't it, I don't know, like 100 years old or something?
No. Yes. Retract the blush.
What?
No. Retract the blush.
Anytime you have someone who's like elven and someone who's a human, it's always going to be weird.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, to be fair, yeah. It's still, but what was the race?
Weird, bro. Okay.
He's a Goliath.
A Goliath, right.
Which is a giant humanoid.
So he's also like 2 feet taller than you.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Well, I don't speak an imperial. I don't speak freedom language, but I'm assuming that's a lot.
60 centimeters.
67 centimeters. 60? That's centimeters. A lot. Jesus. Yes. All right. So
I'm assuming you're like, what, 5'4" would be your character?
5'5".
He would probably be 7, if not a little over.
All right. I don't know how much that is, but I know that he's extremely tall.
To a 10 to a 20.
2.06 meters to 2.97 meters. Those are the heights of Goliaths.
Oh, right. Jesus. All right. Well, she asks that. He says, appropriate age. And she, smiles and says, "I appreciate your kind words. I have to admit, I am slightly struck by this declaration, since from your perspective, I am carving my own name, I carved my own name in blood and fire, and I already made all these huge decisions, but as you're saying all these things to me, I didn't feel like I deserved it. I was under the impression that this is just the beginning, and in some ways it is, but hearing you say it, you're right. I have done all of these things, and I am in a position that I only have myself to blame for, in a good sense, of course. I hadn't realized how much I was ignoring about myself, and I would like to thank you once again, Theric, not just for this gesture, but for reminding me who I am and where I'm meant to go. And to be quite frank with you, I hope that you'll continue to be with me along the path." She does a little curtsy, like she bows her head and leaves.
Okay.
I can't bend over right now.
Wait, what?
And we'll be right back with the second part of this episode where we'll actually start the heist.
Damn, Velvet. You got that.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.